There was a guy in a previous church we served who truly fit the word curmudgeon. Do you know that word? He was a curmudgeon in many ways. And one year at the beginning of Advent, he came up to me after worship, clearly upset, and he kind of motioned with his head to come this way. So I walked down the hallway a little ways with him. And he said something like this, "I'm no theologian." And I thought, uh-oh, here comes some theology. "I'm no theologian. But what's with all these other stories that you preach about during Advent, like from the prophets and from John the Baptist and others? Who cares about them? What have they got to do with Christmas anyway? Why don't you just stay in the manger and don't wander all over the barnyard?" Wow, that's pretty harsh. I wasn't sure how to respond. But I did tell him that the prophets and John the Baptist and others have very much to do with Jesus, with the whole story of Jesus coming and being born, pointing the way and preparing the way for redemption through him. And I said that Advent and Christmas, it's not just about a manger scene and about shepherds and angels. It is this much, much bigger story about the kingdom of God and what God has done and where God is leading everything. He just waved me off with a kind of Ebenezer Scrooge sort of, "Bah, you preachers, just stay in the manger." Well, that was pretty extreme. But I think he put in undiluted form what a lot of our culture and world believes and practices during Advent and Christmas. Let's focus on the manger, on the angels, on all the sweet images we have about Jesus. Let's stay there. Let's stay in the manger and keep all the rest kind of out on the edge. And thankfully, that's not what we do here. That's not what a lot of churches do. Because this is a huge story of redemption. The story of Jesus, of course, includes his birth. Of course. And it also includes a lot of prophetic words and a lot of strong words. It includes words about what has happened and what is happening and about what is yet to come. And all of it comes to focus in him, the Messiah. So today on this first Sunday in Advent, we're going to a challenging passage from the Gospels. Luke 21, 25 through 36. In my Bible, this section, beginning at verse 5 in chapter 21, has the subheading, "Signs of the End of the Age." So there's that question. Why preach an end times text at the beginning of this wonderful season of Advent? Why not, as that man asked me, why not just stay in the manger? The short answer to this, which I'll try to fill out a little bit more today, is that Jesus' birth is part of this huge, huge story of redemption. And that life is going somewhere. It's going somewhere very specific, toward God, toward Jesus, toward the kingdom of God. And all of it is centered on who Jesus is and why he came, the Christ, the Messiah. It's what the Apostle Paul described in Philippians 2. If you remember this text, that one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Heaven, earth, and under the earth. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's one of many passages that says, here's where it's all going. In this direction. toward God in Christ. Everything. The theological term for how this will all come to conclusion is eschatology. Some of you know that word, some of you don't know it, and it means the study of the end. Eschatos is a Greek word which simply means end or last. So eschatology is about the end of the age, and the eschaton is the end of the age, the end that comes before the new beginning. And a lot of things connected to eschatology are also called apocalyptic. Some of you have heard that word before. Another unusual word that often gets misused in terrible ways. Apocalyptic does not mean massive or frightening, like it's sometimes portrayed in the media, an apocalyptic storm coming. We had one here a few years ago that was called Snowpocalypse. That's not it. That is not what it means. Apocalyptic simply means something being revealed that's been hidden. Something being uncovered that wasn't known or seen before. Both of these words, eschatology and apocalyptic, have everything to do with today's text from Luke 21. Jesus spoke about what would come in the last days, in the eschaton, before the new day. And he revealed or uncovered things for his followers to know and to believe, apocalyptic words. Very briefly, the setting for Luke 21 is this. Jesus was in Jerusalem with his disciples, and they were walking by the temple, and the disciples were very impressed with this huge temple and how beautiful it was, how permanent it appeared. It's just before the last Passover meal he shared with his disciples and where Judas betrayed him. That's all coming in the next chapter in Luke. So they're walking by this huge, beautiful temple. The disciples are commenting on it, and Jesus began talking about what was yet to come. That the very temple they were walking around would be utterly destroyed. Not one stone left upon another. And that before the end of the age, before the eschaton, many other things would come as well. False prophets, wars, earthquakes, famines, plagues, persecution of his followers, hatred directed toward them, betrayal within families. It's a lot of fearful things in that first part of Luke 21. But Jesus said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid in the midst of all this. Do not fear. Instead, stand up and stand firm. And then we come to today's text, picking up partway through Luke 21 at verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity. At the roaring and tossing of the sea, people will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable, "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That's quite a text. It's an easy one not to preach from, I'll tell you that. Because as you read through that text with me, how many things can you point to as having already happened or happening now? We're living in Luke 21. We don't need to go through it point by point by point, but there's a lot. Wars, famine, disasters, terror, apprehension, unending upheaval across the world. This is our daily 24-hour news cycle. There is so much tearing at the fabric of God's creation and God's desire for shalom, for peace. But shalom is not, the word is not used in the text, but it's part of this desire. Shalom means so much more than peace just being a lack of conflict. Shalom means a universal flourishing of life for everyone and everything. That's shalom. It means genuine justice. It means a full embrace of mercy and compassion going out in every direction toward everyone. Everyone. It means an on-the-ground, day-to-day embodiment of the kingdom of God lived out through His people. Shalom. And as far as we are from this today, this is what God has designed for this world, for His creation. And which will one day be fully in place in the new creation yet to come. But which today is what we are called to live into day by day in real ways. Living into the kingdom of God now as opened up to us by Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us. A passage that speaks about this shalom and that's often used during Advent is from Isaiah 11. I'll read a few lines from it. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child shall lead them. It keeps going, leading to this. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Shalom. One day. It describes an immersion. An immersion into the knowledge, the awareness of God's presence and God's truth. Shalom. This is what one day will be fully in place. And which we're to be part of now. To be on the leading edge of now as His people. But we sure aren't there yet, are we? We're living much more in the midst of Luke 21. Listen again to part of it from verses 25 and 26. On earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. And the sea, biblically, was an image of chaos. Huge and uncontrollable, would swallow lives. People will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. There is so much that's been shaken and is being shaken in this world today. Terrifying things. Colorado Springs on Friday. Before that, Paris, Beirut, and on it goes. And all the people who are refugees in the world and the horrible stories about why so many are on the move. So much of what's here is what Jesus described as is coming. And yet He says, don't be afraid. Don't worry. Instead, stand up. When these things begin to take place, He says, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Stand up. Lift up your heads. It's a picture of calm confidence. Holy confidence, humble dependence. The word for stand up, literally, from the Greek text, it means straighten your back. Straighten that bent back. Stand up. Lift up your heads. Don't hunch and hide. Don't duck and run. Don't wall it all out. Stand up. Lift up your heads. It's a picture of calm, assured, bold confidence because of what? Because your redemption is drawing near. Redemption. Redemption is central to the entire story, especially to the story of Jesus. Redemption is central to the whole sweeping story of what God is doing and where God is leading everything. Redemption means releasing what's been held captive by paying a ransom. That's the literal technical meaning for it. Releasing what's been held captive by paying a ransom. It means releasing and then restoring to life that which was marked for death. Redemption is the very essence of what Jesus came to do, coming as a baby in a manger, fully human, God with us, and later dying on the cross for our sins, taking our place. We were marked for death, and He took it, our ransom. And all of it to release us, to release everyone who comes to Him in faith, releasing us from sin and death into life and hope. Redemption is central to this huge story. This is what Jesus does, what He did, what He does, what He will do, and this is where everything is headed. The world will one day be fully restored. We can read this in Revelation 21 and 22. Released from darkness and sin and evil and fully restored. So stand up. Lift up your heads. In the midst of all the Luke 21 things, stand up. Lift up your heads. Because your redemption is drawing near. And then Jesus gives a cautionary word. Luke in verse 34. Be careful. But be careful. Be alert and watch about your lives or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, which means excess and overindulgence. They'll be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. Be careful that you don't get consumed by all this stuff pressing in on you that can so easily dominate you and then dull your awareness of what I'm doing and this redemption I bring. We're told to watch and wait, to be alert and ready, to be careful with our hearts and our lives, and to stand up, to lift up our heads. This is why we don't just stay in the manger. It is a much broader story, and it's a bold story. It is a strong, powerful story about God bringing redemption into a very broken world. We're called to stand up, to straighten our backs and lift up our heads with bold confidence that our redemption is drawing near and His name is Jesus. So to close, listen to the final verse of a hymn that we'll sing in a moment. Our hope and expectation, O Jesus, now appear. Arise, O sun, so longed for, above this darkened sphere. With hearts and hands uplifted, we plead, O Lord, to see the day of earth's redemption that sets your people free. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, it is so easy to hunch our backs, to duck, to hide, to tend only to the things that we need in this world that is shattered in so many ways. Yet you call us to straighten our backs and to lift up our heads, to be bold witnesses to your love, your grace, your forgiveness, your word calling us to repent in the power of your forgiveness. So by your power, may we be people who embody your shalom. Help us to be people who continue to keep our heads up and our backs straight, knowing with full confidence that you are with us and think that everything is headed toward you. We pray this in your name. Amen.